The 35th chapter. Then all the congregation of the Israelites withdrew from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart was stirred, and every one whose spirit was willing, and brought the Lord's offering to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the sacred vestments. So they came, both men and women. All who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and pendants, all sorts of gold objects, everyone bringing an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or crimson yarn, or fine linen or goat's hair, or tanned ram's skins or fine leather brought them. Everyone who could make an offering of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's offering. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. All the skillful women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and crimson yarns and fine linen. All the women whose hearts moved them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and the breastpiece, and spices and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women whose hearts made them willing to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was really glad that John got to come in what we call spring. It is a time of year where we celebrate and honor Earth Day, and it seems to make sense that it be this time of year, of course, even if spring, as we call it, gets up covered up by a couple of freak snowstorms. It's still what we call spring in the Rocky Mountains. I think spring is designed to get our attention. It's supposed to get our attention. It goes from brown to green. It goes from death to life. It's a miracle all around us that it never ceases to amaze me year after year. It really is a remarkable time. Nature seems to just do its thing, the work, the beauty, while we sleep. We do nothing. We do not have to pray. We do not have to do anything. But it goes on while we sleep and while we work and creates a new sacred space for us without asking every single year. The blessings of God, of course, are evident all around us. And I think that from the outer limits of the universe all the way to this sacred space we're sitting in, we are blessed to be in this home. When we went on the women's retreat this year, we stood out in the middle of the road and stared at the sky, forgetting sometimes when we are in the city the beauty and the magnitude of what is just minutes from here as we stared at the sky. It does make it look so large, the cosmos so big. And I do wonder if we really think about all the different places in the cosmos that we reside in one day, just in one day. All these places that nurture us and enrich our lives, that renew us and recharge us. Every single space is sacred, sacred space. Some of it is above us in the sky. Some of it is below us in the dirt beneath our feet. Brandon's right. It takes sun and water even for us to grow. There are sacred spaces that are specific for gathering. Just gathering places, our homes, our schools, where we work, the church. Places where we can go to meditate, places we can go to have fun, fellowship, to be with our neighbors. and places we go where we live out our mission. I was thinking, did we realize that every single Sunday we ask God to help us care for the sacred spaces of our lives? We might not think that's what we're doing, but we pray the words every week, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, I know that we often are focused on the earth and on people and on the human aspect of what it means for the kingdom of God to come amongst us. And it's all important, of course. But what if when we prayed the prayer Jesus taught us, our mind opened up to think of the kingdom of God as the whole creation, all sacred space, expanding our thinking from an image where all people have found hope in God to the farthest ends of the universe, to the altar that is behind me. Thy kingdom come, all of God's kingdom as sacred space. And we can ask ourselves as we pray, what is God's will for the heavens and the earth and all the life within it? I think Albert Einstein said it best when he talks in our thought of meditation that in some ways our consciousness is a prison for us. We look at the world through human eyes. We don't look at the world as all the other creation sees it. We love a few. We're grateful for some. We're grateful for some of the earth. But we don't feel as connected to it when we pray that prayer as maybe we ought to be, that it's larger and more than anything we could possibly imagine. I guess I'm saying, can we fling wide open our prayer so that every sacred space would be called home? Jesus asked us to make a covenant. We were to love our neighbors, love our God. But I also think that we can think about loving not only who God loves, but what God loves. God loves the whole creation. Now, I know that the scripture that Pastor Carrie just read to you is not the typical Earth Day, is it? You thought you were going to hear Psalm 8 or, you know, the ones I use every year. But I went searching. And when I read this, I was struck by the imagery of the story, and I was struck even more by what was implied by the story. Did you realize that it is one of the very first recycling stories in the Bible? I mean, the Israelites are building the tabernacle, and they brought what they had amongst them. The materials that they used came from recycled donations. Precious metals were not mined, but melted down. They brought yarns and hides. They brought acacia forest wood that they had at home for other uses rather than cut down a tree. And I thought about a totally recycled tabernacle, and it caught my imagination, and it made me wonder about the biblical ethic of reuse and donations that we have here at Highlands. We have been truly blessed over the years, haven't we? We have been very involved in greening up our church. We have painted and rebuilt and fixed and replaced just about everything except the boiler. A moment of prayer, please. Everyone, Paul Snyder just said a big prayer for the boiler. We've changed all of our light bulbs. We have a recycling program that we begged the city to be part of, and they let us, which we were grateful for. We have programmable thermostats. We have water-efficient toilets. I mean, how important is that? We planted gardens out here, and in the spring next month, we're going to be planting our raised beds, building our raised beds, and planting a community garden under the leadership of Pastor Carey, who just won't leave me alone about it. We're going to do it. It's going to be wonderful. And over the years, there have been hands that have done the work and donations that have cared for the building and the grounds, all of it sacred space. We've been blessed for over 100 years. The charter of this church goes back to 1892. And this building went up, the sanctuary part, in 1922. They used to meet in a barn. Yeah, that kept the cost down. But we have been gathering for worship and ministry here for a very long time, offering all of our small beginnings, good stewardship of this sacred space. What I told Pastor Carrie this morning, though, is the thing about beginnings is they just won't stop coming. Just as you take a little breather and you think that you've done something, you get called forward again, you see some other need. Those new beginnings, those small new beginnings that God calls us to, are always just a breath away to be faithful to God's dream for the world, to be faithful to all the sacred spaces in which we live and move and have our being. I know sometimes it can feel like a daunting task, and I have my husband that I remind you loves to watch The World is Coming to an End shows. He says, no, he's just being informed. I sit there and I get started getting anxious and say, can we just watch, you know, like The Big Bang Theory for a little while? Something funny that's sort of scientific. But it is daunting to watch the news and hear of what's happening in the world. It is a daunting task to let your imagination go wild and wander to the farthest places of the universe and all the way back to this house of worship and ask, where are we called? What should we do? And when we listen to the psalmist's words with an open heart, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We know our entire existence depends upon the house of the Lord, and that each and every place we reside is a subdivision of the house of the Lord. Each space is to be sacred, and each should be reflective of the works that we are all called to, that our faithfulness to God's creation will bear fruit just as the earth right now is offering up her first fruits. I think of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have ever needed, Thy hands have provided. Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Stewardship is faithfulness. It's a response to God's faithfulness to us as the creation groans in labor pains to provide everything we need. And this place, this sacred space, is a place where we come to foster our faithfulness to God. As the Israelites did so many thousands of years ago, bringing our whole selves here and giving and doing what we can is a way of living out of faith. And through this place, we will experience our own healing. And after our healing begins, we reach out and we begin to do the work of Christ to heal in the world. We foster that here. We foster the healing here. And we foster the spirit of generosity here. Jesus showed us how to be generous. Jesus also showed us that care and generosity, that discipleship and stewardship always require sacrifice. What is the work that this congregation is being called to? What is it that each of you are being called to care for human life and animal life and plant life and the air we breathe and the stardust and the very altar upon which we sit, the bread and the cup? What sacrifice are we being called to make holy and sanctified each and every sacred space that we reside? It is something to think about. Hi, Kai. You looking for Mama? She's over here. Yeah, that's right. To think about the sacred space and what it means to all of us is something to ponder. I would like to suggest that we actually sit down and think about it and make a list. Sit down and think about it for ourselves. Sit down with our families and our friends. Sit down with our children and make concrete our offerings. What is it that God is calling you to do for the creation? And here's the risky thing that I think we could each do as long as nobody else we know is looking. Pray over it. Hold it up to God and say, give me the wisdom and the courage to do what I actually wrote down. Make it real. Make it concrete. I also wondered what it would look like if we had a creation committee. What would that look like? Thoughtful people who could bring suggestions to the whole congregation about caring for the sacred space in which we live and move and have our being. Our very lives are sacred spaces, brother and sisters. From in here all the way out to the farthest star is God's creation, God's sacred space. We have to find time on our journey to protect it all, to nurture it all as it nurtures us. The Israelites brought all that they had and all that they were to the tabernacle of God. It said, everyone whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they did it all as a freewill offering to the Lord. We are a blessed people. We are an incredibly blessed people. May we be faithful to the care of all the sacred spaces. And may our hearts be stirred and our spirits willing. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.